Welcome to Positively Autistic, Autism, God's Bright Kids. Here on this radio show, you will find encouragement in the midst of the challenge of autism. We will share stories of how God works in the midst of those affected by autism, as well as how He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Because there is hope, there is life, there is love, even and especially in the midst of autism. And here is your host, Dana Susan Beeson.
I am your host, Dana Susan Beeson, and welcome to Autism God's Bright Kids. It's Monday, September 19th, and I recorded this show from my home in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where summer is still here, but fall is right around the corner, and I can tell because I have caught a cold, so my voice is a bit scratchy. I hope you can bear with me. But I'm excited to announce that today I have a very excited guest with me on the show. And this guest is a good friend of mine and a business partner, very successful homeschooler of three children. Her name is Tammy Polk. And we are going to talk all about 12 extremely important tips for homeschooling newbies. So you won't want to miss this. Now, this show is going to be longer than usual because we just have so much to cover. In fact, this show is actually just a preview of what's to come because we are going to develop this talk, these 12 points that we're going to be talking about, into an extensive course. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on a commercial break, and when I come back, we're going to have this very special discussion with Tammy Polk. Autism. We hear about it more and more. To families and individuals, it can be devastatingly hard. What can we do to help? And if you are affected by autism, how can you find hope? Hi, I'm Dana Susan Beeson, and I am the publisher of an upcoming book, Angels in the Midst, Rising Above Autism and Asperger's. I understand about autism as my son and husband have Asperger's. It is challenging. But I also know that God can work in the midst of these challenges. God can use ordinary people to bring hope to those facing this challenge. But I need your help. I need your stories, your artwork, poetry, and videos, especially from autistic children. I need sponsors, and I am looking for worthy organizations to donate a portion of the proceeds to. Come along with me on this journey. Join me and get involved at riseaboveautistic.com. Again, riseaboveautistic.com. There is hope, there is life, and there is love, even and especially in the midst of autism.
Hi, you're listening to Autism God's Bright Kids, and this is Dana Susan Beeson, and I am excited to tell you that on the line with me, I have my good friend and business partner, writer, consultant extraordinaire, Tammy Polk with Choice Home Education Consulting. She is a homeschool consultant, and her website is choicehomeeducatingconsulting.com. So anyway, Tammy, welcome.
Thank you, Nina. I'm glad to be here. It's nice to be on the line with you again.
Yeah, it's always fun to talk to you. I think we have a great time. So, as you know, I have compiled an outline of 12 ways for homeschooling newbies to get started. And I thought
right. You
are the ideal person to talk to about this because this is what you do day in and day out.
That is very true.
Cool. So before we get started, why don't you tell, for those who haven't listened to you before, because you've been on the radio show before, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and what you do.
Okay. Well, again, my name is Tammy Pope, and I began my homeschooling journey in 2008, basically after being given the runaround by the public school system here where I live in Memphis, Tennessee. We have three girls, so yeah, 13, 8, and 3. So I am well acquainted with homeschooling multiple ages and multiple grades. And how I got started in my business was actually funny. My husband came home from work one morning and he asked me, he said, "Have you ever written down how we got started with homeschooling?" And I said, "Well, no, it's not something that you think about doing." And so he says to me, he says, "Well, I've been getting questions and everything, you know, at work. And can you just, you know, write up something small about, you know, what curriculum we use, how we chose it, you know, any issues we've had, you know, just something that I can give out." And I said, "Okay, sure. Why not? Simple enough." So I sat down and I drafted this little one-page newsletter. And I gave him a few copies of it, you know, just to have something. And I, you know, had my phone number on there and everything. And I was like, "Well, if somebody asks, you know, he has something to give out." And so after that, I started getting people in the community asking me about it. And so I said to myself, I need to, you know, figure out how to do this properly, because I have so many more people, you know, asking for help. So I took a class on starting a consulting practice. And after I finished that class, you know, choice was born. And I did it because I wanted people to understand what their options were. And I did not want them to count homeschooling out, as many do, because of finances or jobs or just really not knowing what to do. And not understanding how much flexibility there is in homeschooling. And I tell people my purpose is fourfold. It's to inspire you, to encourage you, to uplift you, and equip you as you have made the choice to homeschool your children. So when you came to me and you showed me this outline, this is something that I talk about day in and day out, whether I'm sitting down with a family thinking about homeschooling or I'm out at a community event. These are the 12 areas that people really get locked up in.
So speak to a little bit about why this is vital for families who have children with autism.
Children with autism, as I have seen, are usually underserved in the school system. They really don't get what they need. And the reason why considering homeschooling them is important is because it gives you the time that you need to teach them the way that they learn, to find out what it takes for them to get to where they need to be. you also have more time and flexibility in finding, you know, your treatment options, finding your doctors, finding, co-ops or anything like that, or even starting one if mm-hmm. that's not, you know, what you need. I said for you, Dana, you know that well.
Yes, I do know that. I laugh.
So you have so much more time to truly help your child to learn the way that they need to, and to see things in them that may get overlooked. You stand a better chance of being able to do them, to being able to get a handle on things much, much better. And also, they are less likely to be medicated as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have that time and you have that chance to get those natural remedies in, to try those alternative methods of treatment as well. So I've seen that with both of my daughters, both my 8-year-old daughter and my 3-year-old daughter, following their lead as they show me what they're interested in and what they want to do and how they learn, you are better able to cultivate that, because that's not how schools work.
That's right.
It's not how schools work. It's not about cultivating what you see these kids do. It's you see what these kids can do and you wish you could cultivate. Mm-hmm. So you stand a better chance of bringing out the best in them in a homeschool environment.
That's right. Amen, sister. I totally agree with you. So we have 12 points to cover, and we don't have that much time. So this is going to be very brief for each point, as you know. But Tammy and I, we have plans, right?
We have plans. We always
have
plans.
That's right. And so, God willing, we will be developing this into a really exciting program to help all those people that are wanting to transition to homeschooling, because it is exploding. More and more people are realizing this and breaking out of the traditional school mode. So we want help.
Yeah, it's 2.1 million children in Tennessee alone.
Really? Okay.
2.1 million.
Okay, that's in Tennessee alone, and I don't know what it is here in Colorado.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I know that it's also worldwide. It's not just America.
True.
So, yeah. Yeah. So because this radio program is actually Positively Autistic, of course, is based in England. So it's not just an American thing, although Americans are leading this charge. Okay, so are you ready to get started for this blitz?
Let's go.
Okay, so number one. Get the unpleasant stuff over with first. Check the laws in your state.
You need to know who, what, when, where, why, how, and more importantly, how much.
Yep.
In a nutshell, you need to know exactly what to do, what paperwork to file, when the deadlines are, whether you have to turn yourself into a private school or not. The first step in homeschooling is to check what your state laws are, especially if you are withdrawing them after Labor Day.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point. It's a little different if you're withdrawing them from school versus you've never sent them to school in the first place, I would imagine.
Right.
Right. So first thing to check is an organization called HSLDA.org, and they can get you every law in every state.
That is correct. Invaluable resource.
Exactly. And some states are easier than others. And
yes.
Colorado is kind of considered a medium kind of state. Texas is really easy. The East Coast is harder. I don't know about what's the status of Tennessee.
Tennessee is a moderate law state. So we're kind of a medium state.
Okay.
We have five different registration options. So there are easy ways and there are hard ways.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so again, check with hslda.org. That is the place to start with checking your laws. And each state usually has an organization statewide. Ours is called also check.org. CHEC.org is the name of the one in Colorado. Okay, so moving on, because we have to blitz through this, right?
Yep.
Number two, so important, discover your child's learning style.
You have to know how your child learns so that you can teach them. I spoke to that earlier. Every kid is not a textbook kid. Just to give you an example, both my 8-year-old and my 3-year-old learn how to read by watching closed captioning on TV.
Really?
So, yes. So it is important to know not only how your child learns, but how you communicate yourself.
That's true. Right. Your teaching style.
Right. So you need to know your teaching style and your child's learning style, and you have to figure out how it meshes. It's going to take time. It's going to be frustrating. I always tell my clients, if you're not trying to kill each other by Christmas, something's wrong.
Well, this for me really started my homeschool journey because Sam was in first grade in a private Christian school, and every day I'd come to pick him up, and it was like there would be something wrong. And I attributed it to behavior at first, but then by that March, I was like, something is wrong. This is not just him. And I realized that he had a different learning style. He's kinesthetic. He learns best by hands-on. And
right.
This school was all worksheets. I can't even say it. You know, worksheets. And it wasn't working. So finding out that learning style was my first step.
Right.
Right. And, oh, wow, there's a lot to this. One of the best resources out there that I think, I don't know about what you think, Tammy, is a gal named Kathy Duffy. She has
yes.
a lot of recommendations.
I give a copy of her book to every family that I help.
Yes. Yes. She has a lot of information on her website. And it's C-A-T-H-Y. Duffy. Just Google her and you can find her. She's primo.
Yes.
I go back to her, you know, and
all the time.
Look at stuff today, even yes. though, you know, this is, I think, I'm losing count, but I think it's like our 8th year.
Right.
Something like that. Then the years kind of melt together. But yeah, that is a really, really important starting point because if you're not teaching to their learning style, it's just not going to work. Going to find a lot of frustration.
True. Very true.
Yep, and kids with autism, you know, I've generally found, at least with my son, he's hands-on and he's visual. And so I try to find an eclectic mix of programs that fit that, or I develop things myself that will fit that.
Well, you know, it's that I always said necessity is the mother of invention.
That's right. Yep.
If you can't find it, be ready to create it yourself.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why I'm starting this co-op is there's no high school group that my son would feel comfortable in.
Right.
So that's kind of why I'm doing this. But, yeah, discovering your child's learning style is really, really important. And then, moving on, and that kind of segues with what I was just saying about a support group. Get involved in a support group, right?
Yes. So, support yes. groups are very, very valuable because be amazed as to how many people think that they are homeschooling by themselves, that mm-hmm. they are the only ones on the entire planet doing mm-hmm. this thing. And right. whether it's a physical group or an online community,
right?
Find a homeschool friend.
Yeah.
Find a homeschool friend. It's so important. You know, just to have other people around you to let you know that you're not alone, that you're not crazy.
Right.
And you often, more often than not, you will find people who are either already dealing with what you're going through or have already, you know, made strides to overcome it and are looking to help.
Right. That's right. And the thing with that is that when you do find a support group, you can't compare yourself to other mothers. That's kind of the temptation for us.
It is.
Mothers, is to compare ourselves. Oh, well, she has it perfect and she's blah, blah, blah. Oh, I have to do this because she is doing that. No, you've got to be really focused about what your family needs and not get caught up in the comparison trap, but yet have support, because we cannot do this alone. It's a big task.
We cannot.
Yep.
We cannot.
And especially as mothers of autistic children, it's a tough road to hoe. I'm not going to lie and say it's easy.
No, it is not at all, because we have a whole different set of dynamics that we have to think about.
That's right. But I do think that it's well worth it.
It is so worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is. And even if you can't find, you know, an organized support group, you know, even if you just, like I said, find a homeschool friend, mm-hmm. you need somebody to talk to just to help you make it through.
That's right. That's right. And they can always contact you, right, Tammy?
Oh, yes. You can always reach out to me.
Yep.
Either through my website. I do have a Facebook page. I've got mm-hmm. Twitter, LinkedIn, mm-hmm. Instagram. I even have some people who who send me messages through my office page on Amazon. But I've had that happen a couple of times.
Yeah.
But yes, they can reach out to me as well. I'm more than willing to help.
That's great. And again, that's choicehomeeducatingconsulting.com. Wait, did I get that wrong?
Yeah, it's choicehomeeducation.com.
I tell you, I did not sleep well last night, as Tammy knows, so I'm kind of not all
yeah.
here today. Okay, choicehomeeducationconsulting.com. Oh, wow.
Not quite. Choicehomeeducation.com.
Oh, my goodness.
It's okay. It's the weekend.
Choicehomeeducation.com. Oh, my gosh.
It's the weekend, and neither one of us are here. So I completely understand. Believe me.
Wow. That's what 2 nights bad sleep does for me.
Hell yeah. Poor thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Next one. Okay, here we go. Attend a homeschooling conference. That's point four. And I know that's how I got started when I first decided to homeschool. I went to the homeschooling conference in the summer. That summer before I started, and that was very, very, very helpful. And I've gone to 3 or 4 since. So I've gone to one about every other year. Last year, I went to the homeschooling conference here in my state, and just to specifically learn all about high school, because that's a different animal. So I find that very, very valuable. What do you think about that, Tammy?
I think homeschool conferences of any type are definitely worth the trip. Mm-hmm. I know with me, most years that I've gone as a presenter. So I don't too often get to sit on the other side of the table.
Right.
But I have seen so many that will show up at one and they will be like, I'm here because I'm new and I don't know what I'm doing.
Right, right. There's almost this deer in the headlights look at some people.
Right. And I will say, homeschool conferences can be quite overwhelming,
yes,
especially if you go through the curriculum sale first.
Right? The vendor halls? Oh, my God.
If you go through the vendor hall first, you will have two migraines by the time you get to your first session. Because it's like curriculum companies hear homeschool conference, and they're like, it's just like this bomb goes off. And it's like they fall out of everywhere. Just curriculum companies.
Yep.
However, yeah. when it comes to going to conferences, you have to have a plan and a rolling cart.
That's a good one. I never have had a rolling cart.
But you need a plan. You need a plan.
And a budget.
You need a plan, a budget, cash, and a rolling cart.
Bring you your own lunch sometimes, help.
Right. And snacks.
Right.
Because, you know, when it comes to home, there can be 200 to 300 different entities there at one time.
Yep.
And, you know, you have to know who and what you're looking for. And I know it was funny for me. One of the major ones I did that had the curriculum, the vendor hall, every company that I mentioned, that's who everybody in my workshop went to find. And they were all there. So...
Uh-huh.
It was great, but homeschool conferences are definitely worth it. I know most of the time they are regional, especially out east.
Yep.
Most of the time they're regional, but sometimes you have to travel both reasonable and unreasonable distances.
Well, there's great homeschool conventions. I've never been to one of theirs because I've never seen them in Colorado. But
yeah,
the
closest that they get to you is the one I believe that's in Texas,
probably.
And
right.
Then there's one. I think one of them's in California.
Mm-hmm.
Because they only do four.
Right.
And then there's teaching them diligently, too.
That's right. I was just thinking about teaching them diligently. Yes.
Yeah. So TTD, they normally go to the same cities every year.
Right.
Which I think it's Nashville, Atlanta. That third one escapes me.
Oh, I don't know.
But you could definitely... Yeah, you can definitely go to their site, teachthemdiligently.net, and see.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And see what that third place is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those are the national ones, and also I know that like our library has a huge homeschooling department. And last August, I was in a homeschool resource fair, and that was a great opportunity for local vendors to come out and show different things like music lessons or support groups or the band. There's a homeschool band here. So that is another avenue that new homeschoolers can find. And I have been a vendor at those events multiple times, and I will say that I see that look on new homeschoolers' faces.
No.
Hear the headlights. And then I get this, where do I even start, you know?
You want to just hug them.
I know.
Because they're so confused. But you're right, because one of the big support groups here where I live, they have two meetings. And one of the meetings that they have is just like you said, it's everybody local. Like if you have a co-op, piano lessons, you know, we have people come out from the zoo because the zoo has a homeschool program. A lot of our museums here have homeschool programs. And so they'll get us all together, just the co-ops and, you know, if you tutor and stuff like that, because I know they call me for that every year. And then they have another one where it's just all the activities, you know, the swimming and the volleyball and the cheerleading and the basketball and the archery and the golf and the tennis.
Right.
You know, they have one big just activities fair where you can go and really learn what's out there, because there's so many families. I know I had one client, she said that she didn't want to take her kids out of school because they both played soccer. And so I reached out to our homeschool association here, got in touch with the soccer coach. The homeschool soccer coach actually knew the soccer coach at this kid's school. So they were able to make all of that work.
Wow.
So homeschool conventions, group meetings, all that stuff, it is very, very essential.
That's right. And that kind of leads to the fifth point, is to realize that there are many choices out there. If you want something like soccer, it's probably out there. And if it's not, it's fairly easy to start it. Because I have a homeschool acquaintance here who did that, and it's hugely successful. There are a lot of kids involved in her soccer program. And it's just, you know, a fellow homeschooling mother who saw a need, and she did it.
Right. When it comes to homeschooling, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Robot. But
no.
the motto of that movie was see a need, fill a need. And that's how it is with homeschooling in general. If you see a need, do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not have, you know, a whole lot of money. You know, you may just have $10 and a dream. But that can turn into something. Something really beautiful. And even just within your own family, a lot of the homeschool lessons that I sell at events were lessons that I created because my daughters were having problems in certain subjects. So if you can't find a curriculum that fits, or you can't find a resource that fits, pray about it, and ask God to help you to put it together.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people all the time, when I was writing my book, Vanna, and you know the story of the virtuous businesswoman, I was looking for something. I couldn't find it, and God said, okay, here's the idea. You write it.
No pressure.
So, yeah, no pressure. No pressure at all.
Well, you did.
So, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And the thing is, sometimes that's what you have to do. And one thing I like to tell my homeschool family all the time is that's the beauty of homeschooling is the flexibility.
That's
if
right.
If it doesn't work, sell it because somebody's looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And change it. Never be afraid to change what you're using, because at
right.
the end of the day, it is about you and your family going forward in your homeschool journey.
That's right.
Like I said this in a magazine article once. I said, look, If you have to teach greater than and less than using cookies and a stuffed animal, if they understand it, let it go.
Oh, that totally reminds me when Sam was younger and we did handwriting without tears. We had the bunny rabbit and the magic sea bunny and the puppet. He loved that so much that I had to take all these, the stuffed animals I had, and for each different subject, I had to use them as a puppet and teach in their voices. We did that for a few times. He really loved it. So, hey, but if that works, I did it.
It does. I had one lady that tell me that her oldest son was helping her youngest son with addition and subtraction using lightsabers and Lego people.
That's awesome.
I told her, just back away very slowly. And so she sent me this recording, and it was like, okay, I have 12 stormtroopers, and you have 3, and if your 3 stormtroopers killed 5 of mine, so how many stormtroopers do I have left?
That's awesome.
And then he was like, 7. And then he says, okay, well, 3 of them had respawn and came back to life. I told her, I said, just back away.
Totally.
Because I guarantee you, when you do your fact drill with him tomorrow, he's going to be on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally. One time I drew the addition table on a shower curtain, and then I hung it up outside, and I think it was like our first day of school a few years ago. Sam took his airsoft gun, and I had put balloons on some of the places, and I said, okay, what's 5 plus 7 or whatever, and then he had to find 12 and shoot the balloon. And he loved it. I mean, he could have spent all day out there shooting that math table, and lo and behold, of course, he knows his addition tables pretty well. So that,
and
you know,
it's funny that you mentioned educational shower curtains, because they actually sell those now.
Do they?
You can, yes.
Oh,
you
if I'd only
find,
known, I could have made a bundle just doing.
Oh
that,
gosh,
right?
You could have made billions. but they have educational shower curtains with the alphabet and letter sounds. They have them with addition and subtraction, multiplication. There's even one with spelling rules on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And there's that the educational shower curtains. And I thought that they're the funniest thing. I'm still trying to talk my husband into letting me get some. You know,
it's what works.
Yeah,
it's what works.
But I mean, it's whatever works. Because
I
know just with me being involved in the school system, I've seen teachers like standing in the hallway, and while the kids are waiting to go to the restroom, they're drilling them with their math facts. And so I bet you, whoever created that shower curtain, that was a teacher.
Uh-huh.
They had a kid.
Right.
They needed to practice their math facts.
Uh-huh.
And what better place than the bathroom?
Oh, yeah. Or even, you know, like I did, I just hung it upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Hung it outside. So, yeah. I mean, there's so many choices.
So many choices. It doesn't all have to be textbook. It doesn't all have to be normal. I had a friend who... She got the educator's guide from the zoo, and her science curriculum, it was animal science, and every week they studied a different animal that we had in the zoo.
Wow.
And so with a lot of our zoo exhibits, they have keeper chats. And during the keeper chats, that's how they tell, you know, what they eat and, you know, how they reproduce and all that other stuff. So she would take her kids to the keeper chat. Mm.
And they would take notes and they would answer questions and they would come home and they would write a report and, you know, they took pictures and she put it all, you know, all together and made it all pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But that was her science for 2 years.
Oh, that's awesome. This kind of gets into point number 6. We're kind of morphing into this. Think outside of the school box.
Oh, gosh. Please think outside of the school box.
Oh, yeah. Please. And that's what I realized when I first brought Sam home from private school. Is I was not trying to mimic traditional school at home. It was going to be completely different. Completely.
And it has to be. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you say that because my oldest daughter, we let her go to school for 1 year. And we pulled her out because she tested 2 grade levels above where she was, and they were doing absolutely nothing, which was very unsettling for me. And for the most part, it was because I had attended that school myself, and they did me the same way years ago. So that just grinded my gears. But what I had her to do, and I tell my clients this when they pull their kids out, write down your entire school day. I mean everything, even lining up to go to the bathroom. Write it all down. Mm-hmm. And then I tell them, eliminate the stuff that you know you're not going to do.
Right.
You're not gonna be lining up to go to the bathroom. You're not gonna be lining up to go to the cafeteria, you know, and stuff like that. And then whatever you have left, put it in the orders that best work for your child. Because I know with my daughter, she struggled because, and I don't know why you would even do this to a kid, but her day started with science.
Oh, that makes my head hurt.
So at 8:30 in the morning, her first class was science.
Wow.
Who does that?
Yep.
Science was her first class of the day, and math was her last class of the day.
Hmm.
So I asked her, I said, how can we do this to where it works better for you? And she said, and so she told me how she wanted things to go. We tried it for the first month. It worked well for the both of us. So we've done it for the last 8 years because it worked. And even with the way you set up your homeschool, you set up your homeschool space, it doesn't have to look like a classroom.
Exactly.
And you don't have to spend. You don't have to spend the same amount of money either, because I'm going to be honest with you. There have been days where I have taken educators' catalogs, I found charts that I like, and I got my poster board, and I got my markers, and I made it myself.
Yep. I've done the same thing.
So you definitely have to think. You have to think outside the box.
That's right.
Even with the materials that you use. And it's funny because even teachers are starting to realize that. I have teachers asking me all the time, what do I teach my kids with?
Mm-hmm.
I had a teacher that was using my daughter's homeschool work for her class's homework.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yes. I would print out the lessons that she was doing because the scoping, the
her pacing guide that she had to follow mimicked the way that I did things. So she would use my daughter's classwork as her homework.
That's awesome.
And the quizzes and tests, she would use those as her study guide. So you have to think outside of the box. You don't have to use the same things that the schools use or anything like that. And that's the reason why a lot of these mainstream publishers, Pearson especially, they're now understanding that they need to offer their stuff to the homeschool market, and so many people are falling for that. You know, but it's still the same stuff.
Yeah, you have to be careful with the curriculum that is Common Core or aligned with Common Core and all that, which is another total different discussion. That,
right, yes, it is.
Time for today, because that could take hours.
Hours.
Right. So what I do want to do right now, Tammy, is go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we will continue with the last points. And this is why we're planning on doing a deeper training on this, a deeper dive, because there's a lot to this. So we will be right back.
Okay.
Autism. We hear about it more and more. To families and individuals, it can be devastatingly hard. What can we do to help? And if you are affected by autism, how can you find hope? Hi, I'm Dana Susan Beasley, and I am the publisher of an upcoming book, Angels in the Midst, Rising Above Autism and Asperger's. I understand about autism, as my son and husband have Asperger's. It is challenging. But I also know that God can work in the midst of these challenges. God can use ordinary people to bring hope to those facing this challenge. But I need your help. I need your stories, your artwork, poetry, and videos, especially from autistic children. I need sponsors, and I am looking for worthy organizations to donate a portion of the proceeds to. Come along with me on this journey. Join me and get involved at riseaboveautistic.com. Again, riseaboveautistic.com. There is hope, there is life, and there is love, even and especially in the midst of autism.
Welcome back. This is Dana Susan Beasley with Autism God's Bright Kids, and I am here with my friend Tammy Polk from Tennessee, and she's with Choice Home Education Consulting. Did I get that right? Or am I getting anything right today? Okay, good. And it is choicehomeeducation.com. I finally got some.
Yay!
Oh, my. Okay, so we are doing this blitz on 12 homeschooling tips for newbies. And we're on number 7, and we're already, you know, really have spent a lot of time on this, so we may have to speed this up a bit.
Okay.
Yes, but again, like I said, we are planning on doing a deeper dive on these things and presenting a program that new homeschoolers can use, and I'm sure it will be beneficial to any homeschooler as well.
It will be.
Right, because, boy, it's easy to get stuck in a rut or discouraged or, you know, so we all could use encouragement.
Right.
Okay, right. So, number 7, educate yourself about Common Core. Oh, we were just talking about this, and I didn't see it on my list. So, yes, Common Core. Would you like to speak about
that? Avoid it at all costs.
I don't know how many times I've had parents to flop down in my office chair and said, I'm here because I hate Common Core. Now, one thing that I will say is this. There are some curriculum companies out there that say that their materials align with Common Core, but yes, they haven't changed anything.
Those are okay. They've just done it for marketing purposes.
Right. They've done it. It's a difference between changing your curriculum to fit Common Core and saying that you align with Common Core for marketing purposes. I had somebody that jumped down my throat because I used Math UC for my children for math. The only change that Math UC made was that they added one page to their curriculum. Tear it out.
And keep it moving. Right. There's some philosophical discussion about supporting curriculum that do that for marketing purposes.
Right. It's a difference between marketing purposes and them changing absolutely everything. If all they did was add a page or maybe change the way that they asked the question, that is completely different than they came out with a Common Core edition of their curriculum. Now, if they did that, run.
Now, Pearson is the most purposeful Common Core curriculum out there, isn't it? That's what I understand.
Pearson, McGraw-Hill, Scott Forsman.
Scholastic.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They completely turned on their head.
Yep.
So be careful. There's a difference between marketing purposes and actually changing everything, the teaching methodologies and all that. There is a difference.
Okay. Good. And again, boy, we could get into more.
Oh yeah.
And I could share resources. I don't have them at my fingertips, but I'm thinking of a Facebook friend of mine who that's what she does. She has a whole resource guide on Common Core aligned, and you probably know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
I have a subscription to that.
You know what I'm talking about, but I don't remember what is the name of it. That's what I can't remember.
It's the Homeschool Roadmap. If you're talking about Tina Hollenbeck.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's the Homeschool Resource Roadmap.
Okay.
And she has it's subscription based now, but basically what it is you get all of the updates that she does.
Yep.
And she's contacted over 3,000 different entities to see what their stance is.
Mhm. Yep. She's done a lot of work on this. Yes. So thank you. I didn't remember the name of it. So great. So let's move on to number 8, and that is consider joining a private umbrella school. Now, I know here in Colorado we have several choices, and so Tammy, you want to speak to the advantage or disadvantages of that?
Okay. If paperwork makes you cringe, enroll with an umbrella school.
Right.
If the thought of making your own transcripts makes you break out in hives, join an umbrella school. If you don't want to deal with the Board of Education, or you do not want to be forced to give your child a standardized test, register with an umbrella school, because in most states, and I can speak to this for Tennessee, if you are enrolled with a private umbrella school, you follow that umbrella school's testing requirements. So if the umbrella school says the standardized testing is optional, guess what? It's optional. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I tell people. If you want to avoid standardized testing in any way, shape, form, or fashion, find an umbrella school that's test optional.
Well, and here in Colorado, you can do evaluations as well, but the umbrella school does give you more protection, as it were. But the disadvantage I see is that you have to spell out all of your curriculum, and because we've used unit studies, it was so difficult for me to quantify it like that.
Right. Well, yes. Yeah. It depends on the umbrella school.
Yeah.
Some don't care, but some are very regimented.
Yeah.
And I know that here we only had one umbrella school for like 50 years, but because they became so regimented and basically said, if you're not using a textbook, we will not accept your education plan. It actually caused a split within that school. And the umbrella school that I'm registered under, it is full of people that left that umbrella school for that reason, because they feel like parents should be free to choose. So there are some that are flexible out there, because as I said in the beginning, not every kid is a textbook kid. And I do know I've had some people that would put a textbook down there and then do what they want to do. And sometimes that's just how you have to do it. Because in the end, it's about what works best for your family. And I will say one disadvantage would be that the cost of enrolling with the umbrella school is usually cheaper than signing up with your state's Board of Education. However, I feel like the benefits outweigh the cost.
Sometimes I know in ours they have graduation ceremonies for the high schoolers, and
I haven't seen one yet.
Oh, really? In Tennessee?
With somebody that has registered for the board, I'm not even certain of how that goes, but. I know many of the umbrella schools, they do have, you know, their own graduations. They have prom. They have, you know, different activities and field trips and camps. You can still apply for the same scholarships. Your child can still take the ACT or the SAT. They really aren't losing out on anything.
No, and that's the same widespread with homeschooling in general, is you can take the SAT, the ACT, you can apply, you can get a diploma. You don't have to get
right.
an AED. I mean, this is, like I said, we could be talking about this for hours.
Wow.
The other thing I wanted to mention is, along with protection, is considering joining a legal organization like HSLDA.org that can give you attorneys if you do have a problem.
Yeah.
With the system.
You can't afford not to.
Right.
I can say for me, this will be the first year that I join the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. You can't afford not to, but I do know that they will help non-members on a case-by-case basis. That I have heard here recently.
Yeah. Yep.
It just depends on what your case is. And they are not the only one.
No, there's others.
There are three more. I don't want to get the acronyms wrong. But if you Google homeschool legal associations, they will all come up. But you definitely cannot go wrong with having a membership in a homeschool legal association.
Well, like HSLDA.org has consultants. They have a high school consultant. They have a special needs consultant. And I
right,
one of
they
the
do.
Last summer, she gave the high school training courses that I went to to be able to do transcripts and take these SATs and get a diploma and all this stuff.
So right. One of the
very knowledgeable.
Oh yeah, they are knowledgeable, very knowledgeable.
We have one just for special needs. Also.
Yes, they do. They do, because I know I visit their page frequently.
I need to go to their page more regularly, but.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, yeah. Well, let's move on, Tammy, because, like
yep.
I said, this could go on for hours and hours. All right, so number 9 is think about having your child evaluated. Now, this is probably one of the first things I did when Sam was in second grade, and that was the first year that we homeschooled, is I took him to a professional here in the state that's what she did. And so, you know, that's a good starting place, and I've taken him to her since a few years ago, and my next chore is to get him evaluated again by a professional who will come in. It will replace the standardized test, because in our state we can do that. We can get a professional. Actually, they're not even professional. They just have to have a teacher certificate. They can be a homeschooling mother with a teacher certificate, and they come in and they review your portfolio and give an evaluation. So there's a couple of different ways to be evaluated.
Right. There is. And I tell parents all the time, if you think that there is an issue, whether you are a homeschool parent or your child is in school, there are ways out there other than going through the school channels to get those evaluations done. And you will have positive and negative experiences when it comes to evaluations. Because I know when I did the round of evaluations with my 8-year-old, they are still to this day very hesitant to say that she is full-blown autistic.
Oh, really?
They just say she has autistic tendencies. And her evaluation took almost 2 hours because they couldn't fit her in a box.
Right.
So they just said, you know what, she has autistic tendencies and she has a language delay. And they left it at that, and it's still that way. So you have to take the time to get those second and third opinions and take what you hear with a grain of salt, because it's not any attack on your parenting or anything like that.
Right. Well, you know your child best.
Yeah, you know your child. You know your child best. I tell people all the time, the reports that they give you are just friendly suggestions.
Right. I know that with Sam, the last time I had him evaluated, and this is more educationally, although she did tell me that he was probably Asperger's, but
right.
He took an oral test called the Woodcock. See, now I can't remember what it was called.
The Woodcock-Johnson, yep.
Thank you, yes. you're a fount of information. That's why I knew you were perfect for this. But but it's all oral, and I realized afterwards it was a mistake because he has a hard time processing what he's thinking in his brain and putting it out verbally or in written form too. So it really was not a fair assessment of his abilities. That's why I'm wanting to go to an evaluation as far as an education evaluation rather than a test.
I have been there as well, because even when I had my daughter do the evaluations that we had done on her, every doctor said the same thing. They're like, she's getting low scores that she doesn't deserve. Simply because she was doing something different. Each time they gave her an assessment, she would do something that assessment didn't allow for. So they would go get another one, and then she would do something different, and they would go get another one, and she would do something different. So,
wow.
You know, that A 1 hour evaluation actually took about four. Until the lady doing the evaluation, like, literally pushed her filing cabinet into the session.
Oh, sounds painful.
It was.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Yeah, we got to move on. Another topic we could talk about for a long time. I know I could talk about my experience in that realm. Okay, so, and here again, you know, it segues to the next point. Realize that you are your child's best teacher, and it goes back to you know your child best. You know what their weaknesses are. You know what their strengths are. You know what their learning challenges are. You know
a lot more than you give yourself credit for.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of some of the public school mentality
is they try to
convince you that, no, you can't do this. You have to have a professional. Well, think about it. If you can't graduate from their school being competent to teach, then something's wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is another one that I could talk about for a million years. But you are your child's best and your first and best teacher. You know more than you think you do. You know more about your child than you think to do, than you think you do. It's just that we as homeschool parents, as parents in general, we have a fear of taking that on because we're afraid to mess something up. As a homeschool parent, you're going to mess up. I'm going to just tell you that now. You're going to mess up. It's the way that you react to it that is key.
Right.
That's why it serves as
a teachable moment.
Right. It serves as a teachable moment because I saw a quote on Facebook the other day. It says, when a homeschool parent teaches, two people learn. And that is true because I don't know how many times I've sat down and have been trying to help my daughter with doing something and learn something myself. That you know more than you think you do and definitely more than you give yourself credit for.
Well, I think it's kind of fun going over all this stuff that I may have learned as a child but have forgotten, or I didn't learn it. I certainly didn't learn it the way that we're doing, because we've done unit studies. That's our major curriculum. And so to me, it was fun. I was probably more enthused than Sam was.
Than he was, right.
I only had to be a step ahead of him. I didn't have to be that far ahead of him. And there's there's so many choices out there. If you don't want to teach your child algebra, there's a plethora of curriculum that will teach it for you.
That will teach it for you. I know for me, one of my exciting moments was when my daughter sent me a text message asking me had I read a certain book. And it was a book that I had in school that I actually held on to because I enjoyed it just that much. And I couldn't wait to get back home to show her that I still had my copy of that book. So, you know, we sat down and we read through it together and, you know, we answered the questions about it, you know, that we had and you know, that she had and everything. So it's just a matter of you have to tap into what's in you that you know about your child.
Yep. So true. Well, let's move on to a number 11, because, again, we could talk about that for hours.
Forever.
So we're kind of narrowing this down. The next step. Step 11 is to decide what style of homeschooling you will use. And there are so many styles. There's unschooling. There's eclectic, which is kind of what I am. There's unit studies, like what I mentioned. There's, of course, textbook. There's, So I've named some few. Why don't you continue, Tammy, because you're probably more knowledgeable about it than I am even. So what other options are there?
Yeah. There are, you know, you have Waldorf, you have Montessori, you have
yes.
classical, you have classical Christian, you have
yep.
classical secular, you have living books or real books
mm-hmm.
Approach, which I'm starting to like a whole lot.
Yeah.
You have car schooling.
Oh yeah.
You have car schooling, road schooling.
Right.
It just depends on your lifestyle.
And your child's learning style.
Yeah.
And your teaching style.
Right. If you can put all that together, I know for a fact, I have a friend who her husband drives trucks. So they road school, you know, they are a driving team together, and they converted half of his trailer into a classroom. So, I mean, you know, so is the options are endless, this is another thing, that if it doesn't work, don't be afraid to change it.
Yes, that's right.
If you need to, if it doesn't work for you anymore, or if you find that that your child, you know, just develops this love of reading where you just can't get them out of a book, you know, see what you can do with that. It's just a matter of knowing yourself, knowing your child, and knowing your family.
And there is so much value in giving a child plenty of time to explore themselves. I know that Sam, when he was younger, he learned so much about dinosaurs, and we've never sat down and had a, quote, class on dinosaurs. He just discovered it all on his own. And same with, like, World War II. He knows more about World War II than most adults. Probably knows more than I do. And so it's giving that kind of opportunity, especially when you're talking about somebody with Asperger's who is so focused on a narrow list of subjects. Boy, if you could channel that, it's powerful.
Oh yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's all about paying attention.
Right. Right. And you know, I also wanted to mention, this kind of goes back to, you know, you're your child's best teacher, kind of going backwards a bit, but it's an amazing journey of growing in a relationship with homeschooling. I used to think, and part of the reason why I had Sam in a private school was, oh, I could never teach my child. We'd fight each other all day long. I don't have the patience for that. And it turned out that actually it took a lot more patience to have him in a private school where we would cry every night 3 or 4 hours a night trying to finish homework than it did to homeschool. And our relationship it's amazing. I'm 15-year-old son, you know, we're close. He's not ashamed to be with me. he's an amazing kid, and it's just that time that we spent together. So it's valuable.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so we are to our last point. Can you believe it?
Ooh. All right, let's go. Let's finish
okay.
strong. What's the last one?
The last point is a good one. It's have fun and enjoy your kids.
Oh!
Yes, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yes!
Yes, kind of
yes.
goes back to what I was saying about relationships.
Yes.
Like, yes.
Have fun. It is okay. It is perfectly okay to not put on real clothes ever.
Yes,
if your school uniform is pajamas, kudos to you.
Pajama school.
Yes. Pajama school.
Right.
And the thing is,
as people say, why so serious?
Yeah.
You know, now, not saying that there aren't times when you won't have to say, hey, we got
to
get this done. We got to get time to work, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if your kid tells you that instead of learning about what temperature water boils, they actually want to test it out and actually boil water on their own, it's okay.
Yep.
If they want to understand chemical reactions by making cupcakes,
there you
okay.
go. Yeah. Cooking and math go so well together. Very
right.
Well. Right.
You know, if you want to turn a trip to the grocery store into a scavenger hunt, it's okay.
There you go. One of my, I used to run what I called a creativity club with different homeschoolers that would come in, and we would do these fun activities. And one of them was the old thing of lighting up a volcano, making a volcano and you know, the whole baking soda vinegar reaction there. And that was one of my most popular club events. Kids love that. So, you know, stuff like that that are so hands-on. And then, like, in a couple of weeks, we're probably going to go on a field trip in the mountains, Cripple Creek, Colorado, where they have gambling. But anyway, we're not going to gamble. But we're going to go on a narrow-gauge railroad trip from Cripple Creek to Victor and learn all about mining. So,
hey.
Yeah. So we're looking at doing that.
Whatever works. It's,
yep.
Have fun. Enjoy your kids. And if,
yep.
like I said, if it's almost Christmas and you're both about to kill each other for the insurance money, you're on the right track. Trust me. It's not going to all be sunshine and pine trees.
No, it's not.
You know, and yes, it is perfectly okay if you're sick to give them a Netflix playlist.
Yep. There you go.
You know, Netflix playlist, YouTube playlist.
Right.
You know, and eat cereal for dinner because cereal is universal.
There you go.
So
or if you're having a hard day, stop and do something fun.
Yes. Do something mm-hmm. fun. Chop your day in half. I know mm-hmm. one thing that I've been seeing here lately, just different people doing, is how to have a whole homeschool day in 1 hour. I love it.
Wow.
And you know, and so because you have to make it fun. Because like you said, you don't want your kids to feel like they're in school at home.
Right. Well, you also have to give them something to look forward to.
You do, because case in point, my daughter, my oldest daughter, had to do a report on living in a log cabin.
Oh,
so wow. I looked at the clock, and we have a museum here, the Pink Palace, that actually has a log cabin exhibit and a general store exhibit. And so I said, okay, so we got up, we got our clipboard, we got her questions, we went to the Pink Palace, we went right to that exhibit. And then afterwards, we went and got pizza and went to the park.
And what a memory builder that was.
Yes. I mean, just have fun. You know, it's okay to be special. I do it every day.
Well, the time goes so fast.
How will
my son be 15 and he's in high school?
You're done before you know it.
Exactly.
And so when you look back over your homeschool journey and you ask your kids what they enjoyed the most, that's what they're going to tell
you. Yes,
that
is
exactly
right.
Never forget the day that my daughter looked at me and she said, Mommy, I get it.
Hmm.
She said, Mommy, I get it now. Thank you.
Nice. Yeah. Well, like I said, we could go on about all of these points.
Yes. Another time.
We will.
Another
right.
session.
We will get that together. And so if you want to, well, the best way to find out about it is just to like my page. I almost said plage. I cannot talk. Anyway, to like my page, Autism God's Bright Kids, and I will be making announcements about this course that we're going to develop when that starts coming to fruition.
Yes.
So, Tammy, thank you so much for talking to me about this. I just knew that you were the perfect person.
You are most welcome. I had fun.
Yeah, even on a Saturday, right?
Even on a Saturday, when you have 18 million billion things to do.
I know. Believe me, I know. So I really appreciate you talking to me about this. And again, if you want to find out more about Tammy, go to choicehomeeducation.com, and you can get in touch with her from there. And there will be a link on the blog talk page to her website. So you can just click on that, too. Very easy. So I just wanted to close this with a thought that my sister-in-law gave me when I first started homeschooling. My sister-in-law, Jane, started homeschooling in the 80s. And she, basically a pioneer. And she's one of the pioneers, and she just retired. She just retired her fifth kid.
So God bless her.
Yeah. She is now retired from homeschooling. But, well, sort of. Let's say just semi-retired, because now she has grandchildren, and I'm sure she helps them homeschool.
Okay.
So, anyway, she has been a wonderful source of support for me. And the thing that she told me when I started homeschooling is she asked me, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And that's
very true.
Yes. And so that's what you've got to do. You've just got to take it one little step at a time and try not to get overwhelmed. I know that it's not easy, believe me. Starting high school is a whole other animal.
Yeah, it most definitely is.
But it's just one little step at a time. It'll all be worth it in the end.
It will be. It will be.
Yep.
All you just have to breathe. You just have to breathe.
Let yourself have breaks. Get support, all of those things. So I know that we've covered a lot, Tammy. Yeah.
We have. But you know what? We needed to do it. People need to know. So that we can keep this thing going. We owe it to our kids to at least attempt to have it together.
That's right. Well, thanks again, Tammy, and I'm sure that we'll be talking again on this show.
Of course.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Tammy.
Not a problem.
Okay.
So this is Dana again, and I just wanted to thank you for listening to this very valuable show. I hope that you found it encouraging and that you got a lot of knowledge from it and some direction and perhaps some hope. I know that it was long, but it was well worth it, I'm sure. So anyway, before I sign off, I just wanted to mention my sponsors. Again, a shout out to Positively Autistic and allowing me to do this show and all the wonderful work that they do. And then my sponsors, and you can find this information on riseaboveautistic.com. But first of all, I'd like to thank Kelly Thomason with Plexus. And you can email her at kellythomason@live.com. But find out her information from my website. There's a graphic, a Plexus graphic. You'll see it. Click on that and find out what she can offer you. And then Young Living Essential Oils for Autism, Clarinda Olenslager. She was on my radio show a few years ago, and she had a lot of valuable information to share. So please check her out, anointingthefamily.com. And then the Ashes Gift Series, a very wonderful, heartwarming book series by Annie Eskelson. And you will find that gift series, again, on my website, but you also can just go directly to ashesgift.com. And Christmas is coming up, believe it or not, just around the corner too. And what a great, great idea this would make for a Christmas gift. So anyway, and I also just wanted to remind you, speaking of Christmas, I do have a store myself. It's called angelartsboutique.com, and on that you can find a line of autism awareness products. So be sure to check out angelartsboutique.com. And be sure and contact me, like my Pinterest page, my Facebook page. You can find all that information right here on the slideshow. So thank you for listening, and I'll be tuning in with you next week and going on this adventure with you. But thank you for listening to today's episode, and be sure to tune in next Monday at 4:30 Mountain Standard Time, 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. Together we will reach new heights in our lives and beyond, because there is hope, there is life, there is love, even in the midst of autism. Blessings to you. This is Dana Susan Beasley signing off.